Good evening. Our parsha is Parshat Naso, and we had learned the counting of the remaining families of Levi, the sons of Gershom, and the sons of Merari, and then we had learned the commandments of the sanctity of the camp, up to where defiled people can enter in the camp. And then we had a brief discussion of what a Zav and a Zav are. Then we learned the concept of a Sota. And now we're up to the middle of the Aliyah, and we are discussing the Nazir. Right after the story of Sota, we're in the middle of Revi. Right after the story of Sota, the Torah tells us that a man or a woman who wants to take on a vow to be a Nazir, to separate themselves. So they'll separate themselves from wine, old wine, new wine, and they'll separate themselves from grape juice or any water that had grapes soaking in it or grapes that are moist in the seed of the grape or the peel of the grape. And the Nazir also refrains from cutting his hair, and he refrains from coming to a deceased, to a corpse. He stays away from anybody, even if it's his own relative, his father, mother, sister, brother. He's separate, dedicated to Hashem. And if it happens that someone dies when he's in the room, so then he has to shave off his hair, and he brings a special sin offering. And then when he concludes his nizirut, at the end of the period that he accepted upon himself, he brings a sacrifice, and he concludes his nizirut. At that time, he shaves his head, and the hair is burnt under his shlamim sacrifice. Okay, so that's the story of a Nazir. Our sages say, why is it written here? Our sages say, if you have that shocking experience of seeing a woman shamed, the way the Sota is shamed, that her garments drop to her shoulders, that right by her shoulders, by her arms, that's where the garments stay. They put a rope there, Chevel HaMitzri, to hold up her garments. So that's a terrible thing, to see a woman whose shoulders are revealed, to see a woman who's so revealed. And you see what happened because she was frivolous and probably also used alcohol in the process. Look at where it got her. So a person should be shocked and say, I'm staying away from wine. I have to take a lesson for myself. So first of all, frivolity is necessary in a marriage. Within marriage, people are supposed to joke around. Even Yitzchak and his wife, Yitzchak was mitzacheket Rivka ishto, but it belongs between a husband and wife. We're not supposed to be flirting and joking with someone else's wife. So this is, in general, this is a correct approach, meaning a person has to contain themselves. Make jokes with the guys. Don't make jokes with the girls. And sometimes they'll say something, and it's you got the great line. Don't say it to her. Save your great lines for home. Save your great lines for the guys. Secondly, we see that a person should be shocked when they see something, and a person should think about it and ask themselves, how did this happen to this person? And one of the lessons we see throughout Tanakh and in our sages is to look for the root of the problem. Why did it come to this? So you could say she was hanging out with the guys. He was hanging out with the girls. They weren't modest enough. The Torah says they let their guard down. They drank alcohol together. So the Torah points a finger and says, look at it and tell yourself, how did this happen? Maybe he visited chat rooms and he was sitting there joking around with the girls in the chat rooms. Maybe we have to look at the root of where it got to this. And so the Torah gives us the mitzvah of Nazir as a concept. look at what happens and learn from it. Someone approached me the other day and said to me, we have a mutual acquaintance who his life is falling apart. So he said to me, how do you think we could help him? I said, I think he has to realize he needs help. I think that it's not always possible to help a person. Until the person realizes they have a problem, it's very hard to help them. And I think one of the greatest tools a person can have is to be open to the fact that we need help sometimes. Sometimes people don't know what to do with their marriages. Sometimes people don't know what to do with their kids. Sometimes people don't know why they keep losing their jobs. I had a very good friend who always was fired. He'd get a job and get fired. He'd get a job and get fired. Why? Because he'd always tell his boss or his manager off. He always thought he knew better. He always thought they were wrong. I have another friend who, till today, he's always convinced that his employers are crooks. He always sees something that they're doing that he thinks is not honest enough. And he's brought the police down on his employers. He's brought inspectors down on his employers. He's done now, if a person does this once, you tell yourself, oh, he's a whistleblower. Maybe he's a really good, honest person. And he's and that's why he had to, you know, they were putting poison in the food, so he had to report them. Okay. But when you see this happen time and again, you start realizing he has a problem. It's not every employer that's wrong. He has a problem, but he doesn't see it. So one of the greatest tools we can have is the ability to say, I need help. We all have our blind points. Everyone has blind spots. Everyone has weaknesses. And when a person is open to getting help, then they can grow. That's what the Magid Midovna writes. The greatest failing the Magid Midovna says is arrogance. Because arrogance doesn't allow a person to fix anything else. You can't talk to him. You can't tell him he's wrong. You try telling him he's wrong. He's going to tell you why you're wrong. So then he can't grow. The Nazir looks at the Sota and says, what do I take from that? How do I learn from that? How do I ensure it doesn't happen to me? How do I ensure I don't fall? Part of what we have to say is, how do I learn from things? When a person learns from things, they grow. I began the class on the night of Shavuos. I said, I got a complaint after last year's class, so I'm going to try to fix my mistake from last year. One of the listeners told me, you know, the class just told me a lot of opinions. I didn't get a bottom line. I heard the class. I walked away and I said, okay, so now I know a lot of opinions, but I don't know what you just told me to do. So I said, okay, that's constructive criticism. They told me something. I said, so now I'm going to stop every 10, 15 minutes and discuss what's the bottom line from what we learned, because I want to learn from the criticism.
What was the topic on Shavuot?
This year? Last year it was about, can you make conditions in your prayer? Last year it was about, can you tell Hashem, if A happens, then I'll know it's a sign I'm supposed to do B. Can we stipulate such things in our prayer? Eliezer tells Hashem, the girl that will offer me a drink and offer me to serve my camel, she's the one who's the right wife. Are we allowed to do that? That was last year's class. And this year's class was about, what are we allowed to say to the deceased? Is a person allowed to say in their prayer? Are they allowed to turn and say, Avraham Avinu, help me out? Or the Gemara brings a story about Rav Mani, whose father, Rabbi Yonah, was buried. And he went to the grave and he said, Abba, Abba, they're hurting me. Are you allowed to say that at a gravesite? Are you allowed to talk to the deceased? The Torah says you're not allowed to demand things from the dead. You know, that's one of the prohibitions. So what's permissible and what's prohibited?
You can't pray to them. Are you allowed to not talk to them at all? It's
a separate class. You guys want it, we'll have it. But at any rate, coming back to here, so the Nazir looks at what happens with the Sota, and he says, I have to make sure this doesn't happen to me. I'm going to take a step away from wine. It's always interesting for me to see how the Torah expected us to be so modest that if you saw a woman's shoulder revealed, you say you're in shock. You're like, oh no. If her shoulder was revealed publicly, what a desecration. It teaches us where we should be in this world. We move on. So the Nazir is warned to stay away from corpses, from dead bodies. The Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, had a son, Rabbi Yaakov, who composed the book, The Tur. The Tur is the basis of the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Yaakov also composed a work on Torah, also called The Tur, the Bala Turim. So the Tur writes, when the Torah told us that a Nazir should stay away from dead bodies, the Torah was saying the Nazir is elevating himself in holiness. He's staying away from wine, he's trying to grow in his connection to Hashem. He might succeed. He might become a prophet. He might get prophetic vision. The Torah warned him to stay away from tum'ah, from a dead body, so that you shouldn't think that he got his forces from the dead bodies. It has to be very clear that his growth came through holiness, through connection to Hashem. Not because he was becoming an ascetic and connecting a hermit who goes to the graveyard and sleeps there and tries to connect to the dead. So the Torah said, you want to separate and become holy? Separate also from the dead bodies. It has to be very clear that you're becoming a holy person. We then...
achieve holiness by being a Nazir, not doing anything, just be a Nazir, don't shave, don't drink wine,
I think holiness is a process. It involves our thought, our intention, our self-control. The Torah then tells us how the Kohanim should bless the Jewish people. There's a famous comment here of Rav Yosef Elbo in Sefer Eikarim. Yivarechecha, Hashem should bless you. That's a materialistic blessing. Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha, Hashem should enlighten you. That's a spiritual blessing. Yisa Hashem panav eilecha, that's the synthesis, the balance between the two. We take the physical, we make it spiritual. So here we have the blessings of the Kohanim. And Hashem promises them, you bless the Jewish people, v'ani avarachem, and I will bless them. Either Hashem will bless the Jewish people, you should know through the Kohanim, the one who's blessing them is Hashem, or Hashem is saying, I will bless the Kohanim. We're up to Chamish. We finish building the Mishkan. The Mishkan gets anointed. And the Nesiim bring their sacrifices. Every Nasi brings an identical sacrifice. Everyone brings a wagon. The Nesiim will bring. Six wagons, 12 cattle, and each one brought their sacrifice, and we enumerate one by one each sacrifice. Nachshon ben Aminadav, the leader of the tribe of Yehuda, he brings a silver bowl. It weighs 130 coins. He also brings some kind of vessel that they use to receive the blood of the animal in. That's called a mizrak, made of silver. Also, 70 coins. So the bowl, we said, was how many coins? 130. This other vessel, the mizrak, was 70. Each of them was filled with fine flour mixed with oil. It was ready to be brought as a sacrifice. Aside from that, they brought some kind of vessel, like a big spoon, made of 10 gold coins, and that was filled with ketores. Each one brought a young calf, a ram, and a goat for a chatas sacrifice. On top of that, they brought shlamim sacrifices, 2 cattles, 5 goats, 5 atudim, which is another type of goat or sheep, 5 sheep, and this is the sacrifice Nachshon brought. Everyone brought an identical sacrifice, and the Torah enumerates all of them. That's what makes our parsha the longest parsha in the Torah, because you have 12 enumerations of this whole dedication. That alone is 96 psukim, aside from the rest of the parsha, just that. Okay, and then we have the Chanukah, the inauguration of the Mishkan. And it says, when Moshe would come, he'd hear Hashem talking to him from on top of the Aron. Hashem would speak from between the Keruvim. And no one else heard it. Chazal tell us it was the loudest voice. Hashem's voice coming out was thunderous. It could make trees flop. Hashem's voice, Kol Hashem Shover Arazim. Cedar trees would crack from Hashem's voice, but no one could hear it. Only Moshe could hear it. It would come, this tremendous voice would come, and it would end just by the Ohel Moed, so no one else could hear it. So Rabbi Ort once said to me, he said, why was it necessary to have this thunderous voice if no one could hear it but Moshe Rabbeinu? So why didn't Hashem just speak in a regular voice? Moshe, this is the mitzvah. No, it has to be a thunderous voice. So he said, based on a Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara in Tanis tells us two Amoraim, I think it was Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, were both learning, and they realized that they couldn't handle it anymore. They were so poor, they said, we have to go out to work. So they left yeshiva. They both decided they're leaving yeshiva. And they sat down to eat on their way to go look for a source of livelihood. And when they sat down to eat, so they napped. And Rabbi Yochanan heard a voice. He heard angels on top of the tree. And one said to the other, look at the two of them. They just left yeshiva. Let's knock the tree over and kill them. What did they leave yeshiva for? And the other one said, no, don't kill him. One of them is supposed to become the Rosh Yeshiva now. Don't kill him. Okay, so we, again, Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, they're sleeping there. Rabbi Yochanan hears the angels. One tells the other, let's knock the tree down on them. He asks Ilfa, did you hear something? Ilfa says, no, what are you talking about? He says, you didn't hear anything? He says, no. So Rabbi Yochanan said, well, if I heard it and he didn't hear it, and one angel said to the other one, don't knock over the tree because one of them is supposed to be the Rosh Yeshiva. I guess I'm the one who's supposed to be the Rosh Yeshiva. So he said to Ilfa, you know what, never mind. I'm going to go back. I'm going to try. So Ilfa went out to work and Rabbi Yochanan went back. And in fact, the Rosh Yeshiva was gone and they needed a new Rosh Yeshiva. They appointed Rabbi Yochanan, and when a person became Rosh Yeshiva, so everyone would chip in to give him a financial backing. So now Rabbi Yochanan didn't have to work. He had everything. And then one day Ilfa shows up. Ilfa came back to yeshiva. He shows up in Rabbi Yochanan's Rosh Yeshiva. They tell him, Ilfa, wow, if you would have been here, you would have been the Rosh Yeshiva. You weren't here, so we appointed Rabbi Yochanan Rosh Yeshiva. But really, you should have been the Rosh Yeshiva. Okay. So Rabbi Yort said, you see from that Gemara that if we hear something, sometimes it's a sign. If only you heard it, it's a sign that you're supposed to do something with it. When Rabbi Yochanan heard the angels talking, he understood that if he heard it and Ilfa did not hear it, then obviously he's supposed to do something about it. So he went back. He said the same concept was with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is entering the Ohel Moed. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to him. So if the Ribbono Shel Olam would talk in a low voice and Moshe would hear the message, so then Moshe would know that Hashem said something to him and he would do something with it. But when Moshe Rabbeinu hears the bombastic voice, Kol Hashem Bakoach, tremendous might, Kol Hashem Be'adar, tremendous glory, Kol Hashem Shover Arazim, a sound that's so powerful, cedar trees crack from it. So Moshe Rabbeinu sees that no one outside the tent heard it, only he heard that voice. Now there was a message to Moshe. This is your job, and only you can do it. So by Moshe hearing that voice, there was a message to Moshe. Shabbat Shalom.